God, I need to watch that game again. I need to like go find my tweets for that game. Because I like once you mentioned, I was like, oh, that's right. He did all the crazy stuff.
He was lateraling.
He did
find out who we're talking about. You don't know who we're talking about. Welcome to Highly Questionable. It's Dominique Foxworth. It's Bomani Jones. And Dominique Foxworth is mad at an NFL quarterback. You got to keep watching to find out who it is.
What are your thoughts about the allegations against Darius Geis?
All right. So many, many years ago, with lawyers in tow, the University of Miami and the Miami Herald had a conflict where I was at the center of it because Dennis Erickson was allegedly punishing sexual assault allegations with laps around a field. College football is particularly ill-equipped to handle some of the compromises that are made to get to the top of the sport. So here's some of the backstory here. The LSU football program got good very fast, and one of their players is now being accused in USA Today in a story that has been vetted and is very hard to publish by multiple sources as having had raped a couple of women in 2016, months apart, and administrators knowing about it and administrators failing to investigate it. And what I think has happened here is what happened at Colorado when they were winning championships and a bunch of players were getting into a lot of trouble. At Florida, when Urban Meyer says that he compromised some of his principles with a team that was getting arrested a lot. Sometimes, in order to get good at that sport, you have to do things that are so morally objectionable that we're sitting here talking about them, or you're going to lose to the team that does.
The thing about this particular case, and I think the parallel that it really harkens to the most to me, is what happened with Lawrence Phillips at Nebraska in 1995, where he assaulted his girlfriend and then wound up being suspended and brought back for the game to win the national championship. The reason I see a parallel there is the victim in that case was also an athlete at Nebraska, and they basically discarded her in order to protect Lawrence Phillips. That is in part what seems to have happened here at LSU if these allegations are true, where one of these women was on the tennis team and brought the allegations to her coach, and that's why we feel pretty confident that the people in LSU football knew what it was that was going on, at least that there was an allegation. But they just, for whatever reason, did not believe it, or at least they say that they did not believe it. And I just can't imagine how disturbing it has to be if you are a student and you bring this directly to the athletic department, not simply because the person you're accusing is there, but because you expect some level of safety and protection there. And then they just don't do anything about it. Now we fast forward a couple of years and all the things stack up with Darius Geis. And it looks like clearly this is a dude with problems who has inflicted his problems upon other people. But if the LSU athletic department had reason to look into this and then just chose not to, they've got to answer for that. And it becomes incumbent upon us in our job to make sure that they do, in fact, answer for it.
Yeah, what I don't understand is why this would not get investigated at the time. Like, it doesn't make sense. It was 2016. Like, everyone was fully aware of the issue of sexual assault on campus, not just amongst athletes, the widespread concerns that people have about sexual assault against women on college campuses. I think there was a New York Times article in 2015 that said 1 in 4 women claim that they have been sexually assaulted in their 4 years at college. So I don't understand how you can get away with 2 coaches knowing, an administrator and a nurse. And at no point does this come to the attention of the authorities, or if they bring it to the attention of law enforcement, they decide not to investigate. Like, I'm not sure who dropped the ball, but there should be consequences. You can think back to the issue with our women's gymnastics team. You can't just turn and look away in these situations. I think that there is a responsibility. If you're going to take a job like a coach, you're going to take a job like an administrator or a healthcare provider, at some point, someone has to report this and ensure that these things get at least investigated. How do you get out of this situation where we are now in 2020 and they said that this has not been investigated? The only people that looked into it was USA Today. That's where the problem lies.
Maybe the saddest part about this, though, Dominique, is when you say, why didn't these people report it to the authorities? You can't really do that if the victim in the case does not want to tell the authorities. And the saddest thing out of all of this is that something like this can happen and a woman not feel comfortable telling the authorities. Because look around you, man. Why in the world would they feel comfortable telling the authorities? That could work out worse for her than it would be to just not say anything at all. And that gets us to our macro level problem. Who in the world is supposed to look into these things if you can't trust law enforcement and you can't trust the most powerful institution at the university.
Well, more to the point, though, when the police officers, this is what happened when I was covering this with the University of Miami, when the police officers, the campus police, is sort of embedded with the football program, and the football program is a giant business, and you're talking about protecting a giant business because it's a source of civic pride everywhere. It's exactly what makes a victim not want to come forth. It's exactly what makes a victim feel small, because there seems to be a conspiracy of allies and power that make it impossible to make this accusation and have it be heard.
More concerning game one loss, the Lakers or Bucks?
Oh boy, thank you to the Orlando Magic and Portland Trail Blazers, because it's kind of hard to find intrigue in first round NBA series, because they pretty much go the way you think they're going to go all the time. But we got one seeds losing in both conferences, and I do think that there's like some legitimate rut row in each of these situations. For the Bucks, it may not be rut row about what happens in the first round, but it's amazing that if Giannis can't get into the paint, they literally can't do anything else. And now we're seeing this again for the second straight year. And the Lakers on the other side, maybe they could say it's a good thing that they had maybe one of the worst shooting performances in total that any of us have ever seen in our lives and still had a chance to actually win the game. But they haven't looked good since they got there. And that game felt like a reminder that they got two good players, and I don't even know if it's fair to call the rest of them guys a bunch of dudes. They just got two good players and a whole bunch of crossed fingers.
Yeah, I think to continue in the Scooby-Doo reference, the mask was taken off for some of these teams yesterday, and I think that it was obvious. We knew what the issue was coming into the series for both of these teams, and we saw them exposed. I think the shooting performance for the Lakers is less concerning because they had a solid lead and midway through the fourth quarter, and then things kind of fell apart because they can't stop Damian Lillard, and then Melo hit a big shot, and Trent hit a big shot, and Whiteside was defending the rim like he was Giannis. I think those are things that may not continue to happen. We can't expect, obviously Lillard is going to continue to hit big shots, but Gary Trent Jr. is not going to continue to hit big shots in those clutch situations. I'm not sure that Melo is either. And Whiteside, you going to turn your head on Whiteside? Miami, in Miami, you believe in Whiteside? No.
Gary Trent Jr. has been really good in that bubble shooting the basketball, ridiculously good. And that's a different team with Nurkic on it. I don't want to overreact to one result either. There's that hyperventilation that called the Bucks series over after one game against the Celtics last year, and we still laugh at Paul Pierce for overreacting. However, the Bucks and the Lakers, if you want to doubt them, the reasons to doubt them were on display yesterday. They have not been the same teams they were in the regular season in the bubble, while Gary Trent Jr. and people like TJ Warren have been great shooting with the sight lines of no fans in the bubble. This is what I would say to you from that Lakers game, because they've had four of their worst five offensive performances of the season in that bubble. They probably won't shoot 5 for 32 again from three. They probably won't, in transition, have the single worst game we've seen with missed baskets since they started tracking that stuff in 2013. They'll be better than that. But Portland's also a good deal better and is playoff tested in the bubble. They've been playing playoff games since they started, and they just got the Lakers' attention last night. This is what I would ask you, Bomani, because we sort of glossed over this. You said the Lakers have two players and maybe just a bunch of guys who can't be even considered a bunch of dudes. Last night, I did not see two great players for the Lakers. I saw one great player. I did not see two great players. That was quiet from Anthony Davis. Has to be better than that.
He's going to have more light on him in this series than he's ever had in his life. We're going to learn a lot about him in the course of this, because, I mean, playing with LeBron, he's got to understand. If they lose, it's his fault, right? Ain't that the rules?
we all agreed to that a long time ago. When we decided to tie this network's fortune to LeBron's career, we agreed that when things go poorly, we point at the other dude.
Especially when he goes 8 for 24.
Are you here for Fernando Tatis Jr. continuing to break baseball's unwritten rules?
All right, this is a biased panel because the three of us love young people with swagger, and baseball does not love young people with swagger. So the other day, Fernando Tatis Jr., up 7 runs, 3-0 pitch. I guess you're supposed to, according to the unwritten rules, you're supposed to just give the pitcher a free strike in this circumstance. Tatis does not. He did not know that this was one of the rules. Let's play that clip of this home run, 3-0. He's swinging the bat here when he's not supposed to be swinging the bat. And everyone got mad at him. His own manager got mad at him. The other players got mad at him. There were baseballs thrown at each other. So last night, because he's very good, because the Padres are good, because he's very good, they're up early in the game, and he decides, you're not supposed to make the last out at third base, but he decides up big, he's going to steal third base anyway. And he gets caught, but then he doesn't get caught because he's, you know, really athletic.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. Third base is Tatis.
Oh, they had to be furious.
Frazier applies the tag.
Oh, hey, kind of looked like he was out.
And they are coming off.
No,
the
I think he missed
they
him.
Reviewed it.
No, they reviewed it and he missed him.
Oh,
and...
oh, so they had to stew over it with a review?
Yes, that's right.
All stands.
That is reckless baseball. That is not smart baseball, but he can get away with it because he's really good at baseball. I love. Can we just see again? Watch the third baseman trying to fake it as if he did his job and he wasn't embarrassed. I want you to keep an eye on the third baseman here. No, no, I'm just running in. That's the third out.
Smart play. Smart play. Heady play. Heady play. That was a heady play. Just trying to play it across. Hey, man, this is some first-class trolling here because he's doing it because that was the pitcher who threw behind Machado. And one thing I do enjoy is when the unwritten rules stuff turns into a cycle. You remember that time that Nigel Morgan basically fought? Was it in Miami where he had to fight all the Marlins? But one of the things he did is after they threw at him, he just went on first base and then stole second and then stole third, and they were up by like eight or something crazy like that because, I mean, y'all did throw at him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am reluctant to knock a culture of a sport that I don't really understand, but I think most people who understand the culture of the sport think that these unwritten rules are dumb. And it's not to say that there aren't unwritten rules in other sports. Like when I played football, there's obviously some unwritten rules. If it's a blowout, you're a receiver, you're blocking the DB, you don't cut them. Like these are things that you don't do because you want to protect the players that you're playing against. Like it's a respect, a brotherhood situation. What I don't understand about this unwritten rule thing is it's not about safety or health. It's about making the game less fun or not embarrassing people. Like, tighten up. You're a professional football player. Don't be ashamed or a professional athlete. Don't get embarrassed if you happen to lose or give something up. The only argument against these unwritten rules I can understand is they're making games longer that don't have to be. Like, why are you stealing bases and hitting home runs when the game is over?
That's what I was about to say. There is the other part, which is this game don't have no clock, right? Like, if everybody just wants to go home, you do have to consider that part of it.
Coming up next on my son Stevie show.
Cocked his arm, looked downfield. He said, you know what my best option in this moment is as I roll right? It is to throw the ball 60 yards downfield left.
Do you question if this was Lou Bob's ball?
All right, so Lou Bob is the center fielder for the White Sox. He's exceptional. Best young player, best prospect in the game, according to just about everyone. One of Poppy's favorite players. He's a Cuban guy, and everyone knows, I think everyone knows, when Luis Robert calls for the ball, everybody get out of the way. It's a Bad News Bears, Kelly Leak center field situation. Look at this.
That doesn't make you sound old at all, Dan.
I was thinking the same thing. No one knows that reference.
I had to explain Voltron to somebody the other day.
Timing. What?
Oh, wow.
How soon does he fold his arms? Yeah, he knows. Those are the rules. It was an old reference.
The look on his face.
I mean, it's his ball.
Bad News Bears, one of the great sports movies of all time. You guys should watch it if you hadn't, young people. This is not my fault that you're ignorant. Bad News Bears was exceptional.
I think I know why Lou Bob went after that ball. You guys remember this play?
Oh, yeah, it was last week.
Back in, and it tangled up in the netting, and Yelich is to third. He's coming
You can't be out there manufacturing runs for the other team, man. We got to keep it safe.
Since clearly I'm the only baseball expert on this panel, that wasn't even the best play like that. Check out Machado from yesterday.
And this ball swung on and lifted down the right field line.
What is he doing over there?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's a third baseman. That's a shift. I don't understand the sport I am watching right now. What is the third baseman doing out there?
You can't call him a third baseman. He was not playing third base. If he got to that spot, he was not playing third base. He was playing something else.
Do you question who you should be more excited about this year? Mitch Trubisky or Josh Allen?
All right, so let's hear from some receivers on this subject. Cordero Patterson used to be a kick returner, used to be a receiver. Now he's a running back, and here he is talking about Mitch Trubisky.
Hey, Cordero, I'm curious how Mitch looks to you and if he seems any different than he was last year.
No, he actually looks like a whole new player this year, man. It's just, I just see it in his eyes each and every day, man. He's got that fire on him. So, you know, that's what we need out of our quarterbacks, man, the competition. You know, it brings the best out of everybody.
All right. It was the arm that was the problem. So here's Cole Beasley, though, talking about Josh Allen.
No, Josh, he finally got a full year under his belt last year. So, you know, he's playing more confident than ever. You know, he's making throws that he wouldn't even have tried to attempt last year. You know, he's starting to throw guys open a little bit.
Hair bun. Wow. Okay, Bomani, I saw the skepticism on your face. What do you have here?
We really want this Josh Allen thing bad, don't we? Like, as a collective, I've never seen people hold on to the idea of something where he said he's even throwing people open a little bit. It's year three, and we're just getting to a little bit. But Trubisky, damn, dog. Like, he didn't actually say anything about you. Yeah, he looks like a whole different dude. Like, what'd he do, get a new hair color?
Yeah, he defaulted to he's got a fire in his eyes. Like, you know that you are not inspiring any confidence if they skip right past accuracy, arm strength, reading defenses, eluding sackers to he got a new fire in his eye. That's not a guy that you believe in.
Well, you know what, though? Actually, to be fair, the accuracy of Trubisky might be something that you would associate with your eyes being blinded by fire because you have fire burning your eyes.
Josh Allen's getting off light right now.
Oh, God, he was so bad at the end of that game. I had forgotten until you said it. He was awful.
he got closer to the wrong goal line than the one that he wanted to get to in a crucial situation where they had a 16-0 lead.
The first thing that came to my mind when my good friend rapper Cole Beasley said he's trying throws that he wouldn't even thought to try last year. That man threw a cross-body 9 route to a fullback in a playoff game. What other throws are you trying to throw?
I forgot about that.
Through his legs? Like, what is he doing? He's trying to put it down?
I had forgotten about all the particulars. It wasn't just that it was bad. It was some of the most ridiculous things that we had ever seen. And this from the dude who has overthrown people by 20 yards. More per pass than any player I have ever seen in my career. Dominique is over here getting furious just thinking about this.
Look at him rolling right, Bomani Jones. Cocked his arm, looked downfield. He said, you know what my best option in this moment is as I roll right? It is to throw the ball 60 yards downfield left to a double-covered square body.
Tonight at 9 p.m. on the Science Channel, Eaten by an Escalator.
All right. Even people in America who are anti-science can get behind the idea of watching videos of people eaten by escalators. Let's see what we have here. NBA playoffs are going on right now. If you're interested in that, you can go watch it, I'm sure. But here we've got science and escalators.
At a busy metro station in Istanbul, Turkey, it's winter. And commuters are rushing on their way to work, unaware of what is about to happen. The escalator on the left is functioning normally, but the one on the right is static, so the rush hour commuters are using it like an ordinary staircase.
Here we go.
Suddenly,
here we go. Start
it springs
up the escalator.
Into life. Just as a commuter steps into a huge gaping hole that unexpectedly opens beneath his feet.
Oh, dear God.
He can be seen desperately trying to hold on to the handrail, but eventually he plummets into the mechanism.
That's horrifying.
And the stairs close over him.
Oh, my God. That is horrifying. I will never get on an escalator the same way again. I didn't know that could happen.
Hold on, Dan. So you're going to be taking the stairs?
Look, no fat jokes here. Let's just enjoy the video. Bomani, are you intrigued?
So I have a question that I feel like we need to ask as we're watching this. Is this like a candid camera, like caught on film show, or is this a prank show? Because this feels like a prank. This feels like somebody got set up to get eaten by the escalator, and I hope that person got paid some money for it. Because you expect me to believe that just happened by accident?
There's one other possibility. It could be candid camera, it could be prank, or it could be a hit. That could be professional. Like, that was well-timed. It only took one man. We never saw him again. Disappeared. Mistake. Everyone's hands are clean.
All right, listen, I took the fat joke, and I took I'm old with the bad news bears joke. You just hit us with Candid Camera, Dominique. You're a young person. Candid Camera is a show from the 70s.
Are you done? Because I was just repeating what Bomani Jones said. So maybe you are too old or too fat to hear that Bomani Jones said Candid Camera first. I just repeated it.
Okay, so whatever happened to just like standing in your truth? You know what I'm saying? Like whatever happened to just taking, now you got to pass it on to me. In fact, you're going to make me go to another level that we don't talk about Candid Camera enough because our whole damn lives are Candid Camera now. They saw the future. We just didn't realize.
Speak for yourself. I don't be on there. I'm not taking sexy pictures in a dashiki.
Oh, Jesus.
The pictures.
Put those pictures up. Those pictures are sexy. The pictures are sexy.
They're sexy.
Look, hey, all I'm saying is there's only one reason the pictures would be sexy, and it wasn't because of the dashiki.
That's great, right. I wouldn't look the same in a dashiki. Bomani, why don't we put up on the screen what Bomani says I would look like in dashiki? He texted me that over the weekend. I'm leaving. You know what? Why do I do this show with you guys?
Oh, El Sueño Cubano didn't like seeing his resemblance to a wrestling superstar. Finding Lee. That's Dominique. We'll talk to you guys later.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.